It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM, American Public Media. I'm John Moe. American history is full of iconic outlaws, guys like Al Capone, Jesse James. Here's another one, Max Butler, a.k.a. Max Vision. You might not know his name, but he is or was one of the most powerful criminal computer hackers ever. He's the subject of Kingpin, How One Hacker Took Over the Billion-Dollar Cybercrime Underground by Kevin Polson. The book comes out today. Polson says Max was a hot-tempered guy from Idaho with a talent for computers. He developed a reputation as a skilled computer security expert. He knew systems and their vulnerabilities.
While he was working as a computer security researcher, he was still doing some recreational hacking on the side. So this is like the classic Matthew Broderick in War Games style hacking, where he was just messing around. At one point, he became concerned because there was a computer security vulnerability that had just been discovered in a very widely used piece of software called Bind. This was a piece of code that was running all around the internet. He felt that people weren't moving fast enough to close the security hole after it had been made public. So on his own, he wrote a computer program that would scan the internet and find these vulnerable systems and break into them automatically and then close the security hole behind them. So he set this up and he targeted the Pentagon, which he felt would be the most important area to patch. And his code broke into basically thousands of Army and Air Force computers, and it fixed all of these military systems while leaving a back door in for him in case he ever wanted to get in himself. He got caught for that and sent to prison for an 18-month term. So that kind of destroyed his career. When he got out, he found that he couldn't get employment anymore as a good guy, as a computer security researcher, because he was now a very high-profile, convicted computer criminal. He couldn't find a job.
Max realized there was money to be made outside the law. He had the hacking skills, although he didn't know at first how to profit from them.
But as time went on, he discovered that there was already a pre-existing organized underground of computer criminals who knew exactly how to exploit computer intrusion. His epiphany was, instead of breaking into banks or targeting consumers, he was going to go after these other criminals. So he started breaking into the computers of other hackers and of credit card fraudsters and identity thieves, everybody that was active in this global underground, and stealing their stuff and then monetizing it.
Can the landscape of crime online accommodate more Max Butlers? Are there more Max Butlers out there? Would the ecosystem be able to handle them?
Yeah, there's a lot of money out there, and there are thousands of computer criminals hatching various scams, and they work 24 hours a day, and they're making millions of dollars. Every time you make a dent in this, they always come back. And the reason is there's a lot of money in stealing money from people's bank accounts and in credit card fraud and forgery. And wherever there's money and opportunity and still a relatively low chance of being caught, you're going to have people jumping into that.
Max Butler eventually did get caught. He's in federal prison now. Could be released in 2018. You can hear more of my interview with Kevin Polson at MarketplaceTech.org, including what motivates someone to do this kind of hacking, even when they know it's illegal and they can go to jail. Kevin Polson is uniquely qualified on that subject. He's a former hacker himself and did some time in prison for his crime, has managed to make a successful career as a journalist since then. He's a senior editor at Wired.com. Weirdest thing happened the other day. I get a call in my office. It's my wife. She's at home. But she sounds different. She sounds crystal clear. It's easily the best quality phone call I've heard in recent memory. See, we think a lot about phone quality here on the show because we interview people on cell phones, Skype, people on headsets. But my wife sounded better by a mile than any of them, and way better than she does on the cordless phone we bought just last year. "What are you talking to me on?" I asked. It was a rotary phone, a big, black, corded phone that she bought for nothing at a thrift store. Must have been 40 or 50 years old. You can't walk around with it. You can't tell who's calling on it. You just gotta deal with it. But in exchange for giving up all the features and portability, it sounds great. I love this phone. I did wonder how we check voicemail without touch tone, though. "I don't think we can," said my wife. And now I love that phone even more. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.